Hello, Africa. This is Inquiry, where we take a lighthearted look at everyday life, the day-to-day issues you care about. I'm your host, Akwe Thompson, in Washington. Today, arranged marriages.
This is the person you are going to marry, you are going to live with this person, mm-hmm. and you must make it work because our family honor depends on it.
Arranged marriage, let me just put it this way, simply, okay? How will I marry a man that I don't know if he has ugly feet or not?
A social contract, an economic contract, mm-hmm. there's a third party here that is, has vested economic interests.
The matchmaker.
Yes, that's the parents.
Yes.
I'm not for arranged marriages, but I have to acknowledge the fact that it did work in many cases.
Let's not confuse arranged marriage with forced marriage.
In the days when arranged marriages were kind of the norm, there was less incidences of divorces.
Absolutely.
Take the money and forget about your inner happiness and love and all that.
And the larger the dowry, the better.
Oh, yeah. It's all about the Benjamin.
It's all about the Benjamin. The question of whether to marry out of love and romance or to have an arranged marriage is an interesting one for many Africans. Proponents of arranged marriage offer many arguments as to why this practice is much more likely to ensure happiness, productivity, and a healthy family life than simply marrying for love and attraction. On the other hand, those who are against the practice feel very strongly that arranging a marriage inhibits freedom and independence, and that it has no place in modern society. And so the battle line is drawn. This is Inquiry. Stay tuned as we explore this fascinating topic. I could fall in love with you. And joining me on the show today, here in the studio, is the lovely Lenore Mudu from Cote d'Ivoire.
Hello, Akwe.
We have handsome Jackson Bunganya.
The lovely Jackson.
From Kigali, Rwanda.
Hello, Akwe.
And we have Mr. Randy Brobe. He's actually from... Are you from Cape Coast, Ghana? Wherever you're from?
Cape Coast. I was born in Cape Coast.
Cape Coast, Ghana.
But I'm from Drive in the Ashanti region.
There you go. Okay. And Randy is actually here in Maryland, USA. And last and not least, we have Miss Lamisi Imbila. And she is in Accra, Ghana, right?
Hi, Akwe. Hi, Africa. Hi, world.
Hi, world. Thank you, Lamisi. The practice of arranged marriages in Africa is highly controversial. It sparks a lot of emotion for people on both ends of the debate. To get a sense of this, I spoke to a few people on the continent and in the diaspora. Let's listen.
You want to marry someone that you know you can spend the rest of your life with.
Sometimes you see arranged marriages thriving a lot better than marriages that were not arranged.
Traditional, natural arrangement whereby the parents arrange a marriage for a woman and a man in exchange of something like money or anything equivalent to money.
You just don't take the person's word just like that. You're up to meet the person. And then when you meet the person, you make the decision as to if you're comfortable with the person. You just don't have to say, the person says yes. And then you accept it just like that.
I think traditionally, arranged marriages was a simulation of parents getting to know of each other and thinking that their child was good for the family.
So I think the thriving well of those marriages may not really have to do with love between the two couples, but respect for the person that did the arrangement in the first place.
You can't exchange love with anything. That's my point of view. Love is love.
They will say, no, man, this thing is not like that. If you want a woman, you just come back first and then you tell us we will find the one for you.
So one begins to wonder if there is really any harm in arranged marriages.
Primitive things to take in account that you should... practice the ball and that's what I think.
In love marriages, we have very high expectations. You know, like, this is it. This is my dream.
What she likes or what I like might not be totally the same.
I believe in marrying someone for love and not for family or social interest.
And so you heard. People have varying views on this very controversial subject. Yes. Tonight on Inquiry, we are discussing arranged marriages. So let me throw it out there. Lino, I'm sure you have some strong views there.
Well, let me say my parents' marriage has arranged me because I was born, so maybe, yeah. Listen, arranged marriage, let me just put it this way, simply, okay? How will I marry a man that I don't know if he has ugly feet or not? That's all I'm going to say about that.
So for you, it's all physical. Huh?
But not even in the face.
The ugly feet. Exactly.
Didn't even know. What about the socks and the shoes are supposed to cover that part of the body?
Okay. So, anybody out there with a view?
I think arranged marriage is... I don't have a problem with it.
Why?
It's just like because your parents, most of the time, they know what's best for you. I'm not a fan of it. I wouldn't even get into one.
All right.
I think one of the main reasons why parents used to push arranged marriages is that they would look for a family that has identical values to them. Mm-hmm. And they say, you know, we know the family of Mr. Akwe. We know he has a son. And we want him to marry our son because we know he comes from a good background.
He has these qualities.
They're not cannibals in their family. So
serial killers.
They don't have a history of serial killers.
I just listening to what everyone is saying, I think that at the end of the day, really, arranged marriages have lost their relevance in like today's society. And like, I think it was Lino who said, how do I marry a man when I don't know whether he has ugly feet or not? whether we like it or not. Before, I mean, you are able to sort of like get along with someone and even love the person, the first thing you see is the person's physical attributes. And from that physical attraction, then, you know, other things, emotions come into play. And then, oh, I love this person, I love her, I love him, etc. But for someone to just be sprung up on you, and it's like, Lamisi Akwe is from a very good family, from a well-connected family, very political, etc., all the great things about Akwe. Akwe may be the nicest person, but if that attraction and connection isn't there...
But with bad feet.
You know, at that point,
I mean, good feet does not carry through the family.
May not be the biggest issue. Maybe Akwe's nose is too little. I like a man with a big nose.
Uh-oh. Okay. All right, you guys know.
I think that in today's society, I think that they've really... I mean, I think it's outmoded.
Really? Really? Well, maybe. Maybe not. Anyway.
We need to arrange marriages when we have Facebook, huh?
Okay. All right. Some traditions definitely raise red flags, especially within the younger generation of Africans. And I'm hearing that now. Arranged marriage is one of the things that, to them, has lost its relevance, as Lamisi said. So why should an individual be forced to live with another individual, most of the time a stranger, for the rest of their lives? Isn't marriage about love? What is the motivation behind some of these arrangements? Because there are still some of these arrangements out there. For those of you just joining us, this is Inquiry, a program of the Voice of America's English Service.
You no longer have to worry about missing your favorite show. Our programs are podcasts. Visit our website, voaafrica.com, and subscribe. We deliver the show, and you decide when to listen.
Welcome back to Inquiry, the show that takes a lighthearted look at everyday issues of importance to you. I'm your host, Akwe Thompson. Right now, we are discussing arranged marriages in Africa. The idea of arranged marriages may sound strange, even archaic, to a lot of young Africans, particularly the educated, and worse still, for them, is the motivation behind some of these arrangements. Omotola Thompson is a young Ghanaian student in Hamilton, Canada, and I asked her for her opinion on arranged marriages and what she thinks motivates some parents to engage in the practice.
Some parents do that because of money, or maybe they need some help from the other family. So in exchange of the help, I'll give your son my daughter to marry and stuff like that.
That is not marriage, that's business.
Business?
Yeah.
A business pertaining to marriage.
Don't you think so? If somebody wants to trade off their daughter for what? For money?
Yes.
Are you serious? Is that done?
Yes, it's done sometimes.
Have you ever witnessed one?
No, I haven't. Yeah. I haven't witnessed one, but I've watched it in the movies and I have heard. So I know that's done.
Yes. Now we're talking pure fiction and hearsay. Nah, come on. Okay, on a more serious note, you think it's something that should be abandoned? You
know? Yes, I think so. It should be abandoned.
There should be legislature saying that people should not marry away their daughter to people that they don't know?
Yeah, it should.
But see, there are also people who say that arranged marriages work out better than, you know, this modern day thing that we do, like dating and having multiple boyfriends and girlfriends, vice versa, before you marry. You know, so some men want their women pure. I guess some women do too, right?
Yes. But then marriage is for life, you know, and you have to know the other person before you just get into marriage. You don't just get into marriage because someone says you should. You should know the person and know that, oh, I can live with this person for life. I know this is the person's behavior and I can cope with it. And those you can't cope with, you know how to manage with that. So there are a whole lot of things to marriage before you just get up and say you want to get married. But I really don't agree that parents should arrange marriages for their children.
Okay, so you've made your point. Thank you very much, Omotola Thompson. And tonight on Inquiry, we are talking arranged marriages in Africa. Arranged marriages are still out there, whether we like it or not.
Oh, yeah, some societies still do practice them.
Exactly. And one thing that Omotola said was, or motivate some parents to do so, is
finance.
Cash. This money. This is terrible. If you want business, write a business plan. Don't have a child. In all fairness, it did work. Maybe now with, you know, the modernization and the internet and everything is so fast, maybe it's not going to work now, but it did work in many cases. I know,
yeah,
my grandparents did.
My main thing is the divorce rate in the whole world is so high now that I think arranged marriages will contribute to that figure.
To reach to less or to more?
To lessen or to increase?
No, I said arranged marriages will increase.
Oh, okay. Really?
Yeah.
Yeah, but in the days when arranged marriages were kind of the norm, there was less incidences of divorces.
Absolutely.
But I also
think that, I mean, if we talk about less divorces and stuff with when it comes to arranged marriages, we need to understand the context in which this marriage is being contracted. Mm-hmm. Because in the first place, the people involved, most of the time or a lot of the time, do not have a say in what is going on.
Right.
And it is that this is the person you are going to marry, you are going to live with this person, mm-hmm. and you must make it work because our family honor depends on it, mm-hmm. because the continuation of this family depends on it. And so at the end of the day, you'll find that people feel that they must stay in the marriage no matter what happens in the marriage. So this arranged marriage, we have to bear in mind that it is actually third parties. Mm-hmm. Who are sort of like pulling the strings,
yeah.
and not the two people.
Okay, you made a good point. But let's go back to the motivation behind some of these. Let's not get lost in that.
A social contract, an economic contract. Mm-hmm. Like she was saying, there's a third party here that has vested economic interest.
The matchmaker.
Yes, that's the parents.
Yes.
They have a vested interest either in the continuation of a certain tradition, mm-hmm. or in achieving a certain social status, social class. Mm-hmm. But unfortunately for marriage, it's a partnership. And it's very hard to force a partnership because partnerships have to evolve organically. People need to fill each other out, you know, either they match, you know, physically, or but also mentally, they have to connect and like each other, because you're going to live together for the rest of your lives. Mm-hmm. You're going to bring children in this life, in this world, and rare them.
But that may be well and true. But the people, I mean, in a really serious arranged marriage situation, they do this homework for you. They actually do.
They do background checks. Right. But then how can you do a background check on somebody's character, who you don't really have not spent. Well, a day together.
When it comes to economics, character is no longer important.
That is true. Yeah.
Mm-hmm. As far as the money is going to flow, just make sure the money is there. Use the money to make yourself happy. Just take the money and forget about your inner happiness and love and all that.
And the larger the dowry, the better.
Oh, yeah. It's all about the Benjamin.
It's all about the Benjamin.
Honestly, I mean, really, I truly believe that, yes, I'm not for arranged marriages, but I have to acknowledge the fact that it did work in many cases. Yeah,
and it probably still works for some people.
But my grandparents were, I mean, it was, of course, it was back in the days, but I've seen so many cases where, because it wasn't because of a lack of business plan, but it was just but the fact that, you know, from this family, you have to marry this family. And they married, be it with my parents' parents or my mother's parents, they marry. And they stay for the longest.
But what's the basis for saying that it worked? Was it because there were less incidences of divorce? Or do you even know that these people in the marriage were happy? Because a marriage, you have to be happy.
Oh, talking about happiness.
Nowadays, you're happy and you're happy for 5 years and 10 years. Yeah, and you get divorced.
Term limit.
They did not have the option to leave the marriage. They didn't even know that divorce existed as an option for them.
Yeah. So sometimes it's all subjective, really.
Okay, moving right along. As controversial as it may sound, some people believe that an arranged marriage is more likely to guarantee a happier and healthier family life than when two people simply marry for love and attraction or whatever. They often back that with the fact that the divorce rate among arranged marriages is lower, and I repeat, lower than that among marriages based on love and passion. When we come back, we'll hear from a woman who supports this argument. You're tuned to Inquiry, a program of the Voice of America's English Service. It comes to you Mondays at 17 hours Universal Time, right here on the English Service of the Voice of America.
Looking for the day's biggest news stories? Then start your day with Voice of America's Daybreak Africa. Daybreak's 30-minute program comes to you Monday through Friday at 300, 400, 500, and 600 UTC. We are also live on the internet at www.voaafrica.com.
And welcome back. This is Inquiry. Tonight we are discussing arranged marriages.
All the way I feel for you is so complicated.
When a man and a woman fall in love, they usually have high expectations of each other going into marriage. Unfortunately, however, these expectations sometimes end up being unrealistic. But what about arranged marriages? Are expectations there higher or lower? Leila Sheikh is a TV anchor in Dar es Salaam, Tanzania, and a regular participant on the show. Let's find out what she thinks.
In love marriages, we have very high expectations. You know, like, this is it. This is my dream.
Yes.
And I'm going to live this dream. Whereas in arranged marriages, you sort of more like a compromise. and you tend to marry endogamous. You don't marry outside your caste or outside your ethnic group or outside your religious group. And there are certain norms and regulations which people stick to because it is expected of them.
The interesting thing is that in love marriages, people tend to find out about each other themselves. In arranged marriages, they actually have matchmakers, I understand, who do that. And that is what fascinates me.
Yes, because I come from Tanga. We tend to marry people from our own area in the sense that somebody's aunt would see me and she would go and tell her sisters or her sisters-in-law or whatever that I saw that girl there, and I think she's going to match with your son. And they also nowadays look at the levels of education, so there's not a very big gap because the men would have specified, the girl would have specified the kind of husband she would want. And somehow out of that develops companionship and respect,
that's the key word here. I've been told that before, that arranged marriages lead to people getting more respect for each other.
Respect is so important because sometimes, as a woman, I should say that women would prefer to marry a man who has a lot of respect for them, who is a gentleman, mm-hmm. who is a good provider. Yeah, that's important, you know.
Yes.
And then the love, obviously, would come.
Perhaps that is the reason why these marriages are more stable than the other.
It does. When you're dating, you see each other for a very short period of time, mm-hmm. and everybody's on their best behavior.
Yeah.
But when you have to live together now, that's when the real work begins. Mm-hmm. And you have now to find each other, get to know each other, the other aspect that you kept hidden. But now they're coming out to the fore and everybody gets a shock. Oh, my God, is this her? Is this him?
This is not the man I married.
Well,
thank you very much, Leila. You always make it interesting. Yes. Tonight on Inquiry, we are discussing arranged marriages. She said it. Arranged marriages sometimes are based on lower expectations because... Go live and see.
I'm just saying that, I mean, what is there to expect? You don't know the person.
Yeah.
You don't know what they're like.
Mm-hmm.
You don't know their feet.
So, end of the day, if you're going to arrange marriage, you cannot afford to have any expectations. And, you know, the lady you were speaking to, she mentioned compromise.
Mm-hmm. Yes.
You know, essentially, you have been compromised already by the man or your parents.
That means you're a politician.
I like you're interested in that.
You put a big spin on that one, Lamisi.
Compromising. In fact, your first name might even be turned into Mrs. Compromise. Or Mr. Compromise. Mr. Compromise. Because your whole life will have to be led by this word.
Okay, but let's
at the end of the day,
let's look at okay, let's look at these marriages that are, you know, spring out of love and passion and romance and what have you. Again, you go in there with this high, because this is the guy. This is, you know, your prince in shining armor comes, you sweep you off your feet,
knight in shining armor.
And then a few weeks, sometimes in a few days into the marriage, you realize,
that it doesn't shine anymore.
No,
but the difference is that you had the choice to do it. The difference is that you chose to do it.
Yes, but marriage is a serious institution, so it's not
absolutely
a matter of choosing.
Absolutely, no. You chose the partner. Now we make mistakes as human beings. Sometimes you get into these relationships and they evolve. As they evolve, you realize maybe I made a mistake. That's a given. You know.
Okay, but let's not confuse arranged marriage with forced marriage.
Yeah,
that's
something different.
Yeah, I think,
you know, forced.
Yeah, but
go ahead, Randy.
I mean, do you have a choice? Do you have a choice to refuse or accept the marriage?
In some cases,
in some societies, you can refuse, but not very often.
No, you refuse one and they arrange another one.
Yeah, as long as you stay within the same group, ethnic, or
that's what I wanted to know.
Whatever it is. But forced marriage is different.
You meet someone and they have a big feet, and I'm sorry, ugly feet. Then there's a problem.
That's the main criteria, I'm telling you.
And a big nose? Or the smaller nose?
She wants a big nose, not a small nose.
That means she wants a big nose. Okay, so...
Yeah, go ahead.
Now, so, and again, let's talk about the divorce rate. And we don't have the exact numbers here, but I think statistics say really that marriages that spring out of love and, you know, dating and all that, you know, end up quicker in a divorce, more so than marriages that are arranged. You agree?
Well, statistically, it has been proven. You know, maybe nowadays there are not that many arranged marriage. Maybe to reevaluate the statistics as it was maybe 20 years ago. But right. it has been demonstrated.
I was going to ask this about the statistics that show that people who go into arranged marriages have like achieved more success.
In terms of
is
what?
This than like, compared to those who go into marriages because of love. Now I'm just interested in like which cultures have been studied that these results have come up. Because we still have certain societies where perhaps a larger proportion of the population are actually going into arranged marriages. Mm-hmm. And so I don't know if it will be fair or it would be an airtight study to compare the divorce rate there with a country like, say, the USA.
Actually, that's a good point. And that probably would take a whole show in itself to answer that question.
I was going to say that women and men in this modern era have realized that we can have choices when we go into these arrangements, whatever they are, whether it's a marriage or whatever partnership. And that at some point, if it doesn't work for you, you have the alternative, and the alternative is either you get out of it and you seek other, you know, arrangement or engagements. Okay, it's the world we're in these days. You know, we're not held down to the same.
Yes, Randy.
I have a question for you. How is arranged marriage related to like blind dates?
You know, I was thinking. You just, you know,
they work out sometimes.
They do.
Right, but that's part of the courtship. You know, blind dates is they put you together with a person who they hope that you like, and then if you do like them, then you get married to them.
Exactly.
But nobody's pushing
forcing
you.
Yeah, that it's blind because you don't know each other before you meet.
Mm-hmm.
So
now, if you meet and you like each other, well and good. Now you might like each other physically.
Uh-huh.
Right. And then after a couple of months of dating, you're like, you know what, this guy might have good feet, but really can't stand him. He does not pay for the meal.
Okay, so who's going to have the last word here? Let me see, because you're so far away across the ocean, we'll give you the last word.
Oh, all right. Well, I think that we all agree that, I mean, the best case scenario would be for everyone to be able to choose who they want to be with. Mm-hmm. And who they'd like to be with. But that being said, we also all agree that there's nothing really wrong with being introduced to someone. But once the introduction is over, I think that the two parties, that is the man and the woman concerned, not the third parties, should be the ones to decide what they want to do with their relationship or where they want their relationship to go.
And I guess that's the consensus here. So, well, that's all we have for our show today on arranged marriages in Africa. Let's thank Omotola Thompson in Hamilton, Canada, Leila Sheikh in Dar es Salaam, Tanzania, and all the participants in the Vox Pop. And of course, a big thank you to my guests here in the studio, Miss Lenore Mudu. Thank you, Lenore.
Always, Akwe.
Mr. Jackson Munganyu. Thank you, Jackson.
What?
Mr. Randy Brobe. Thank you, Randy.
Anytime.
And, of course, Miss Lamisi Mbila, all the way in Accra, Ghana. Thank you very much, Lamisi.
A pleasure to be on your show, Akwe.
Thank you very much. Well, that's all we have for our show today on Inquiry. Please send in your comments and experiences. Our email address is inquiry@voanews.com. You can also call us here at 202-203-4892. Thanks for tuning in, and join us again next Monday at 17 hours UTC for another exciting edition of Inquiry. From Washington, D.C., this is Akwe Thompson. See you next time.
What's happening, Africa? This is Jackson Bunganyi in Washington, D.C.
And I'm Nadia Sami in Johannesburg, South Africa. Thank you for joining us on Upfront each Wednesday, 1730 UTC, for a lively discussion on issues that are topical, challenging, and always engaging.
The show tries to capture that fundamentally aspirational nature of today's African youth. As you've noticed, right here on the show, we talk about everything. Nothing is off the table.
I am a social networker, often online. For me, it's all about making connections, meeting people.
Ooh, without my family, I don't think I would have been here today because they gave me a lot of support morally.
Tante AU, African Union, can these people really solve this nonsense of rigging election, brutality during what election violence, all this whatever?
Employment rates are climbing, so definitely there's less jobs in the market now.
Remember to connect with us on Facebook and on Twitter at Upfront Africa.